Okay, Rabbi, second line, top of Mem Dalid Amid Aleph, where the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Yehoshua, Chota Yisrael. Now, as you recall, we learned in the Mishnah today, Mishnah back on Mem Gimel Amid Beis, we were talking about Achan. Achan was a terrible individual. What we know about him from Tanakh is that originally, when Yehoshua came into Eretz Yisrael, the first Muhammad that they had was in Yerichai, and he stayed in Chevra. Don't touch any of the booty. Don't take any of the booty for yourself. And unfortunately, somebody did. Nobody knew initially who that somebody was. Want to sit over here?
Sure.
Of course, as soon as sit there, Joe is going to walk in. Put my hat down. I knew it wouldn't take 3 seconds. Thank you. My pleasure. Anyway, so in the Tanakh it tells us about Achan, that
Achan was really
okay. We're going to get to that in a moment. But in the meantime, first Klai Yisrael was hiding in Yerichai, and he, Yeshua, had said nobody should take any of the spoils of Yerichai. Finish.
Right.
Short time thereafter, they
Achan
had
spoiled it. I'm sorry.
Shortly thereafter, they got to Ai. Not to be confused with AI and IAI, yes, to I, Ayin Yud. And unfortunately, there in Ai, they had a terrible, terrible defeat, where 36 individuals were killed. And Yeshua is beside himself. What happened with it? Oh, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Chota Yisrael, Klal Yisrael sinned. How did they sin? Because someone in Klal Yisrael took from the booty, from the spoils of Yerichai, against what you said. Who was it? Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you think I'm going to be a snitch? I'm going to go and tell you. Rather go and be mapul geroles. Go and throw lots. And they threw lots and it came on to none other than Achan. So we see that Achan was a bad guy, that he refused to listen to Yeshua.
And we say Achan Vey.
And that's how we got to Achan Vey. Exactly right. Anyway, so the Pasuk says, Chota Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu, if you have the Torah Ora Sholem, you have number Aleph on the right hand side, and if you don't have it, you'll just listen. Chota Yisrael, Klal Yisrael sinned. They gam avru es brisi, and they also violated the covenant. Asher tzivisi oisam, gam lokchum and acherim, gam gonvu, gam kichashu, gam somo bechleim. Terrible! Klal Yisrael sinned by taking some of those spoils from Yerichai. So now the Gemara tells us, although it says in the pasuk Chota Yisrael, Yisrael has sinned. Amar Rav Abba Bar Zabba, Afa Pisha Chota Yisrael Hu. What a Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, Bir Remiza, if you will, doesn't say Yisrael Chota. It says Chota Yisrael. Even post Chait, they're still considered to be Klal Yisrael.
Gazlan and Ganef Abba Anir Lachayyid.
Exactly. Amar Rav Abba Hainad Yamri Inshi, and that's why people have the expression, and they say, Asa, the Koyi Ben Yechilfi, Asa Shemei. Asa is the same as Hadassim that we have on Sukkot. As you know, the Hadassim are very pretty, and the trees, the myrtle trees on which the Hadassim grow, are considered to be very distinguished, dignified types of trees. So says the Gemara, there's an expression that people have. Even if you find one myrtle, one Hadass tree, the Koi Beni Chilfi, which is standing among Chilfi, Chilfi are willows, weeping willows, and therefore you might think that it kind of gets bottled to the rest of the environment, to the rest of the field of the willows. No, Asa Shemei, it remains Hadas. The Asa Korulei, and we still call it Hadassim. In other words, even though it gets mixed into the fabric of its background with those willows and other trees of far less significance, however, it still retains the name Asa, or Hadas. Same thing over here. Even though Klal Yisrael, unfortunately, is being indicted by the Rabbi Yisrael himself, you guys all sinned. Nevertheless, Kadosh Baruch Hu lightens the criticism by saying, Chota Yitaku Rechoyte B'Yisrael. You're still Klal Yisrael, you're still my Am Hanif.
But there was only one individual, if I understood
you. We're not finished yet, but Baruch Hashem, we have a whole Amir. Exactly. So you, more about,
you see the attribute of Rachamon.
Yes. Of Rachamon. Yeah.
Right. I'm serious. Kadosh Baruch Hu exemplifying it.
Exactly. Very good. You take it so seriously? What happened?
I'm serious.
What happened?
I don't know what happened.
Okay.
Right. The phone rang and it turned me around.
Oh, I got you. Okay. Good. And we continue on. Says the pasuk, the gam avru es brisi asher tzvisi oisam, and they also violated the bris that I commanded them. You're very welcome. Mendalit omedalit. You're very welcome. I know you got it. But I'll get it to you too. It's a grace of comment. So this is the pasuk that we quoted quickly before. You have room here. The Gam Obrus Brisi, Klai Yisrael violated the bris, the covenant, Asher Tzivisi Oysam, that I commanded them. Gam Lokhum and Akhedim, they took from the spoils. Gam Gonvu, they stole. Gam Kichashu, they were also, they denied it. Gam Somu Bechleim, they put it into their Kalim. In other words, they took the spoils and took it. Now notice, this is a very interesting pasuk. It uses the term Gam 5 times. We start off with Gam Obrus Brisi, Gam Lokhum and Akhedim. Gam Gonvu, Gam Kichashu, Gam Sum Bechleim. 5 times altogether. Umri Belomi, Shem Rebbe Yehuda Bar Masparta. Malamed, from this we learn that Sheovar Ochan Al Chamisha Chumshe Teira, that Ochan was over on all 5 Chamisha Chumshe Teira Shenema. Chamisha Gam, because it says in the Pasuk, Gam. So when the Morris says Chamisha Chumshe Teira, that means that Ochan was over on Kol HaTeira Kula. Not only didn't he listen to Yericho, when Yericho said, go and make sure not to take from the spoils, but he really spoiled it across the board, leaving over kol terikula. And based on that, the Gemara adds the Omer Rabbi Lo, the same man the Omer again. Omer Rabbi Lo Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Bar Marsparta. Ochan Moishech bi Arlosay Hava. Haya. Ochan was Moishech bar Arlosay. That means he had a bris mila like all Jewish children, but as he got older, apparently he was ashamed of his bris, or he wanted to do a classic cover up. What did he do? He pulled on the flesh, which is below the top of the gid, the atara. Good, the flesh which is below, and he kept on pulling it and pulling it, pulling it, until he was able to recover the outside atara, so that he should appear to be uncircumcised. How do I know that he was Moshe Boalosei Hoye? Ksiv Hachet says the Gam Ovru is Brisi. That's part of the pasuk that we quoted above, right? The Gam Ovru is Brisi. That's a bris. Ksiv Hashem es Brisi Heifar. What's the es Brisi Heifar? So if you see the pasuk in its entirety, Torah Ora Shalom Ois Beis, V'Orel Zocher Asher Lo Yimol es Psar Orlosei. A person that does not have a bris. V'Nirchus Anafish Himi Amel es Brisi Heifar. Oh, so we see that the word Brisi is referring to the bris. And here it's the Gam Ovru is Brisi. So therefore, we see that Ochan was not a nice gentleman. He was over on the Indian of Bris, Moishech Bar Lasse. Freit Demor Pshita. Once you told me that he's over Kola Tere Kula, so, in other words, he wanted to inviolate this Bris of the covenant of the Bris. Now the Rishash and others add a Dalit. Now the same mitzvah, Digufei Loi Pokar. A mitzvah that applies to his body. In other words, once, if a person didn't have a bris at all, he doesn't want a bris, okay? There was a story in the West Side just a few months ago. Yair told it to me. What's Yair's family name?
Goldstein.
Yair Goldstein, right. Goldstein told me that in a shul here in the West Side, several months ago, he heard there was a person called up to the Torah, and at the end of the Aliyah, he asked the Gabbah to make a Mishaberach, Mishaberach, and it was to give a name to a Yingala, the name was Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, whatever it was, then. And of course, everybody's wondering. You only do that for a girl that's born. You don't, a boy, you do it at a time of the bris. So Yair did a little bit of
Investigating,
very good. And he found out that Le'aleinu v'le'aleichem, that person has a daughter, obviously a Jewish daughter, who married Nebar Chacham Islam, a goy. And they had a baby. Is the baby Jewish? Absolutely, a Jewish mother. Father refused the child to have a bris, so the father of the mother said, what am I supposed to do? You can't go and shoot him. They're married, and he doesn't want a bris, and that's the end of it. At least he should have a Jewish name, so therefore he gave a name.
Way to circumvent the whole thing.
To circumvent, yeah. Anyway, Nebar Chachman Litzlan, so this person...
Who's the Ben of Ben Marta? I mean, how do you call a baby up if the father is not Jewish?
That's a separate story that you can ask for every single get.
Right.
What do you do?
He stepped after.
What happens if the guy would have allowed this child to get a bris? So now we get an aliyah 13 years later. So how do you call it?
Ben Marta.
Okay. Whatever the answer will be over there will be over here too. Okay. But the point is that Nebuch, they had to go and give him a Jewish name because he wasn't going to have a bris. So Ochan apparently had a bris. But he was over on Kol HaTirakula. So says he more out of Sum. Okay, he was over on something which is external to his body. But there's already a bris on his body. How do you undo the bris? See, Moshe Bar Law said, I wouldn't have thought that. Kamash Malon, that even that far he was Pakar, Pakar Lashon Hefker. Might have seen a mitzvah, the goof like Pakar, he wouldn't be so Hefkerdik, even a mitzvah impressed on his goof. Kamash Malon, unfortunately, he was a bad
That's
guy.
That's why they said he was over.
That he was over, yeah. V'chi osa nevola b'Yisrael. The same pasuk that we said, osa nevola b'Yisrael. The question is, what does that teach us? Amar Baba Bar Zavda Malamit Shebol Ochan Nara Hamu'urasa. That among all the other mitzvahs amasim toivim that he violated was that he was boila nara murasa. Where does it lick in the verta v'chi osa nevola b'Yisrael but nara murasa? Zivol chavichi osa nevola. That's the passage we just quoted. That's Ois Gimel here on the side. That's also the Yisrael. And it says by a person who lives with a Nar Hamurasa. Nar Hamurasa means a lady that is married, but not the marriage is not on the level of Nisuin. It's on the level of Erisin. Edrisin today in modern Hebrew means engagement. But that wasn't in the times of Chazal. In terms of the Torah, the word Edrisin means marriage, but not a fully intimate marriage, but a marriage of that she's officially an Eishes Ish, and if she wants to marry somebody else, she needs a get. She may not be married with a capital M, but she's married with a small M. She's a married lady. Anyway, unfortunately, this Achan went and violated and lived with an Amarasa. How do I know? Because by now, Amar said, also use the expression ki osa nevola b'Yisrael. It's an ois dalet ter ora shalei boitziu esanaro beis pesach beis avia uskaluha ad sheira bavonav amesa. We're going to give her skila ki osa nevola b'Yisrael liznois beis avia. So I see that the word nevola is associated now Amar Asa, and here it says by achan osa nevola b'Yisrael. You already told me you violated all the mitzvahs in the Torah. So to him, the same kuli highlight book and nafshe. As we fight, so far. What's this so far, says Rashi? Says Rashi, look at Rashi, about 8 lines in the top. Kuli hai, v'ral l'shamayim, v'ral l'briyos. It's bad enough if he doesn't keep the other mitzvahs. He doesn't put on tefillin, and he eats chazer, and he eats busa b'chulav, and ala treifis. He's ral l'shamayim. V'ral l'briyos, l'vayishes mishpachta, l'oysa al ba'ala. For the rest of her life, she's going to wear a badge of Nebuch, of being
adulterous.
An adulteress, as well as Nebuch, that she was blemished by that fellow that lived with her, and she's going to be a busha for mishpacha. Assuming that she's going to be killed, that itself is a busha mishpacha. And even if she won't be killed, there'll be a busha mishpacha. Can you imagine the shidduch resume that have to put it on the bottom of a footnote?
Well, she gets an A rating, at least.
An A rating, yeah. Oh, the Oisra al Baal, and of course, Asir al Baal, she's now going to live with her husband. Anyway, so I would have thought, at least Epsapistel Menschlichkeit, okay, is an Oswurf Achshegitz Hanogudnik. Epis! Kamash Balon, no, he was Taka, really a terrible, terrible guy. That's how Rab Abba Bar Zavda learns Chiosin of Olabi Yisrael. Ravina learns it a little bit differently. Ravina Omar, Dine Kinara Murasa, Dibis Kila, meaning, what was the Misa that should be meted out to Achan? Should be skila. Why? Because we learn it from Nara Murasa. Here it says, Chiyasa Nevala B'Yisrael. By Nara Murasa says,
Chiyasa
Nevala B'Yisrael. Oitziu esanal, Pesach Be'etzrevia, Uskaluha anchi ira bavana v'meisa, Chiyasa Nevala B'Yisrael. So therefore, Nevala, Gzeri Shava, just like over there is a din of skila, here too there's a din of skila, Rachmanu L'Tzlan. Zotim or bite omelish plusa the Ravuna exists in the possible Ikach Yoshua as Ochon ben Zerach, Vias Akesa, Vias Wader, Svesh Hazo, Vias Bona, Vias Venoisa, Vias Shoira, Vias Hamoira, Vias Soina, Vias Olives, Kolashaloi. He went and collected together Ochon as well as the Kesef, Now we're enumerating the things that he took as part of the spoils, kesef, silver. Deso aderes. Aderes is referring to the Nesi'im. More of it was an aderes. Mm-hmm. If I have one more.
He sometimes
overtimes it.
Why are you down here?
You're down here because you weren't here. Had you been here, we might have been upstairs. Please take a seat. Make yourself comfortable.
Why is 7:45?
Here, here.
7:45 is because another reason, but it's late. I'll tell you the exact measurement later on.
Here, here.
But in the meantime,
Adaris is what? Adaris?
Yeah, thank you. So we're in the middle of this pasuk over here. So Reish Kalush said to Ravuna, "Ksiv is in the Bible, Yikach Yeshua es Ochem es Zerach v'es Akesu v'es Waderes." So you just heard our Tayyar Chaver, Brother Barry, asking what an Aderes is. If you wait about 10 lines, the Gemara tells us in Machloikis what the definition of Aderes is. So just wait until we get it. Beth Lashon Hazov, as well as the golden Lashon, usually a Lashon is a like a long piece.
Bar.
I'm sorry?
Ribbon bar.
Bar?
A bar of gold.
A bar. Oh, a bar of gold. Shoy, a bar of gold. Good. And he took Banu Ves Melech, Ves Shoyroi, Ves Chamoir, Ves Tzoyin, Ves Ahaloi, his children, his shor, his chamor, his tzoyin, his oil, especially everything he took. Now, it doesn't say in this pasuk what happened to them, but we will go and see that shortly in the Gemara, that the Gemara, that the pasuk says about them. In fact, if you have, again, the Torah Ara Shalem, the pasuk that we just quoted was Ois Hei. But the next pasuk, Ois Vav says, Ois Zayin, what does it say? Which means that they got l'chayra both sreifa and skila. And the Gemara is going to ask, how can you go and give both sreifa and skila?
Careful.
There's another Gemara there.
No. Fine. Fine is here, so don't worry.
Okay. So we're continuing on.
Why is
150? Yeah, okay. Now you know why. Okay, that's all. Just go ahead for adding something. Perfect. Okay, we'll talk later. No, no, it's okay. It's also the best ornament. Call to Batslacharab. Okay, imhu chata. If he, for the focus now of the Gemara's kasha that Reish Kalusa asked Rav Huna is, what does it say about banav v'benoisav? I can understand the things that he took. Ochan took the kesa derish v'shem tzav. What does it have to do with banav v'benoisav? What do they do? Imhu chata banav v'benoisav machatu. Amalev l'tamech. Imhu chata kol Yisrael machatu. Did I hear that from you, Brother Daniel, about half an hour ago? Okay. Did I say Baruch Hashem. And imhu chata, if Ochan sinned, kol Yisrael machata, why does the Torah talk about kol Yisrael? Zechsev v'chol Yisrael imay. Everybody else was innocent. They didn't do anything. So it's not just the banav v'benoisav were innocent. Kol Yisrael is innocent. So why are they all included in this package as if everybody sinned? El lirdoisan. It's lirdoisan. What means lirdoisan? So Rashi says the doisa means that they should be subdued and realize, take this is the poster child for someone who sins, the chas v'sholem, you get punished. Don't think the Torah says that if you're bad, you get punished. The Torah doesn't really mean it. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is a Rahman, he'll take good care. No. If the Torah says the Arba Mises Bezdin, take it seriously. So here too, the Bonav Benoisav, you should know, Ochan unfortunately is going to have a terrible death. We just want you to be aware of it. Mechol Yisrael Imoy, Klal Yisrael, be aware of it. You see, Rashi is about 12 lines from the top. Lirdoisan, Sheyiru es Kilkuloi, they should all see the Kilkul, the terrible sin that he made, that he performed. V'yazoru ba'atzman, they should be careful about themselves. V'lo Yosifu limol b'cherim, they shouldn't fall in follow in his footsteps and say, oh, he did it, so I can also do it. Now, Mekanish. We mentioned that a couple of minutes ago, that was the punishment for Achan and for all his possessions, that was Eish, which is Reifa, and V'yiskalu is Skila, V'yikimon Betarti. There are Remises Bezman, nobody gets two. You only get one out of the four. How do they get both? Says Yimonana, Amar Adina, Haroi L'Sreifa, L'Sreifa, Haroi L'Skila, L'Skila. Nobody and no thing got both Sreif and Skila. Those that were Roy for Sreifa, Sreifa. Those that were Roy for Skila, got the Skila. So well, which are Roy?
They is his children, Osam?
No. The children didn't do anything. It was
what's the Skila Osam?
Okay, very good, very good. So let's see the Rashi. Haroi L'Sreifa, this is about 15 lines from the top. Haroi L'Sreifa. Kesa V'zov Uvgadim. Those are the types of things that you can go and burn. I don't know how you burn Kesa V'zov, but presumably means that you melt it, and therefore just becomes molten gold and silver and loses its chashivus. Of course, Begadim you burn. Haroi L'Skila. Who? Shoyroi Ubei Moisav. Now, what did the Shor and Behemoth do wrong? This was a special punitive measure by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Yeshua, and that Yeshua did to the behemoths, all that. Like the Gemara said, lirdoisam, that people should really learn the lesson. Don't play around with these things. You play around, chas v'shalom, you could be decimated, not only you, but your possessions, everything. Okay, now getting back to Aderis. You remember that Brother Barry wanted to know what Aderis means already about 10 minutes ago. V'eira v'shalom says, now, Yeshua, I saw among the shalom Aderis Shina. Achas Toiva. A beautiful Aderis Shina. U'masayim shkolim kesev, 200 shkolim kesev. Question is, Vos is there Aderis Shina? Is a machloikis Rav and Shmuel. Rav Oma Itzlo de Milza. What means Itzlo de Milza? Rashi says, Talis Shal Tzemenoki. When Rashi says Talis, it doesn't necessarily mean our Talisim like we use the term today. Talis can mean a large beggar, like a cloak, like a large robe. Mm-hmm. Made out of tzemenoki. What means tzemenoki? That it's pure white, beautiful white
linen.
Wool. Tzemer is wool.
Oh.
What's linen?
What's that?
What's wool?
Linen is the other one.
The other one, right? Comes from Bishkek.
I know.
Yeah, from flax. Anyway, continuing on, look at the end of the Rashi. Malbishin levush shlo yislachich tzimrei. What does that mean? How does wool, when you... If you've ever seen shorn wool, typically you find that it all is very, very dirty and very schmutzig. What's the reason why? Because the tzoyin, the lambs, the sheep that have this wool, they are not careful about taking showers on a daily basis, and they get all schmutz in the marshes and the waters and the mud and here and there. So when you shear it, then after that you have to go and clean it very, very well to get out all the impurities and to make it clean. However, to go and get pure wool from the animal, what you do is malbishin, you put around the animal a levush. Levush means like a sweater. Every once in a while you see people that have dogs here on the west side.
Yeah, sure.
That they have, you've seen people with dogs on the west side. Yeah?
They spend more on them than their children.
That could be. But anyway, some of them unfortunately have no children. But the point is these dogs have a levush around it, like a sweater to keep them warm during the winter. But here the reason is, shalei slach tzimrei, so the tzimrei should be nice and pure and white and... Lily white. Okay? And we continue on. Dr. Moriets Weiter. So that was Rabbi Mitzvah de Milzer. This Aderis Shina means a beggar made out of pure white wool from its inception. They didn't have to wash it out. Mm-hmm. It was clean and pure from the very beginning. Shmuel Masarbel and Srifa. Shmuel said that this is a beggar which was dyed with a special dye called alum. A-L-U-M. Which I believe is related to aluminum.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is a type of dye which is used to go and make this into a very pretty garment. So it's interesting. It's a shikl mikotze lekotze. Rav says it was pure white, and Shmuel says it may have been pure white, but now it's beautifully colored, and therefore it really looks magnificent. It's a beautiful bag. Okay, so machlekes. Vayatzikum lefnei Hashem. Vayatzikum is like vayatzigum, that he went and placed it in front of the Rabbeinu Shlomo. What does that mean? Omer Nachman, Bava Choftam Lefnei Amokim. Yeshua went and took these items and he threw them down on the ground. And Omer Lefnei Rabbeinu Shlomo, Al Eilu Tehorig Rubashal Sanhedrin. Because of this Shalal, because of this booty that was stolen by Achan. Mm-hmm. Roiv of the Sanhedrin should be killed. How many were there in the Sanhedrin?
Machlok is 70 or 71.
Good. 71.
71. What's the Roiv of 70 or 71? Mm-hmm. 36. Very good. Because 2 times 36
is 72.
Beautiful. So half
you
of
have
that.
To have an odd number.
Okay, good. So Dr. Yimara, able to hurry Grubish of Sanhedrin, because of these items, Roiv the Sanhedrin. Who's talking about Roiv Sanhedrin? The Chassidus says in the Pasuk, Yaakov mehem, anshei o'ai, kishloishim, v'shisha ish. As a result of what Achan did, that he stole he kept some of the booty from the original Muhammad in Yerichai. Because of that, the next Muhammad, the next battle that they had in Ai, how many were killed? 36 people. So it says 36. But notice it doesn't say Shloishim. It says Kishloishim Mishisha Ish. What means Kishloishim? Either it was 36 or it wasn't 36. It was Kishloishim. The Tanya, the Machloikis of Yudan and Nehemiah. Shloishim Mishisha Mamish to Rebuta. Nebuch 36 Yidin of Kai Yisrael were killed in Ai.
Ai.
Amalei Nehemiah. Kishloishim Mishisha Ayah. Yor ben Menashe at that time was the Gadol Hador, the greatest living scholar, the greatest poisik, and therefore he had the chokhmah, the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, like Roiv of Sanhedrin. Since Sanhedrin is 70 or 71, Roiv of that is 36, so therefore he had the knowledge and the wisdom, like Rubishal, and he was the one, unfortunately, that was killed in Ai. That's the Kishloish Mishisha. And that's what Yeshua is never crying about. He says, Boydishloidim, because of these lousy few things that the Achan went and took from the booty, because of that, the Godel Adar, Yor Ben Asher, Shed Chasr Shalom, be killed, Rubishal Sanhedrin. And that's how Yeshua spoke to the Baishal. Now the Gemara is now a little bit critical of Yeshua. Amar Nachman, Amar Rav, Ma'ir Chassid says in the Pasuk, Tachnunim Yida Berosh V'Osher Ya'ane Azus. Tachnunim Yida Berosh. Rosh means a poor person. A poor person talks Tachnunim. He talks in a very, very soft and very polite way. Obviously, because he's Nabachan Oni, he's an Oni Ve'Evyon. He wants people to have Rachmanis, so he speaks in a very edler fashion with Tachnunim. Means in a soft, begging way. For Osher, however, and Osher Yana Aziz, he will speak with a commanding voice to heaven with those guys, etc. With some degree of being pompous and arrogant, I can think of a person in that category, but we won't go there.
Well, let's not trumpet it.
Let's not trumpet. Yeah. Tachnun Yidam Barash is there Moshe. That's referring to Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu always spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a very polite manner. However, Osher Yana Aziz there Yeshua. That's Yeshua. Freighting about my timer. What's the basis of what you're saying that Yeshua was Yane Azus, my timer? Elaim is your. When the Gemara says my timer, it doesn't mean what's the reason. The Gemara means to say what's the makar. Where do you see that Yeshua spoke with Azus? My time. Elaim Mishum Dechse Vayatzikum Lefnei Hashem. Vyamra Machman Bov Chazon Yamokoin. And therefore he's saying, Gadosh Baruch Hu, because of these lousy few items he went and killed Yor ben Menashe, Roiv of Sanhedrin. So that's speaking with a degree of chutzpah with Azus. Otto Pinchas Leobet Hochi. It wasn't Yeshua, wasn't the first one. Pinchas already before him did that. Because it said in the Pasuk, Vayamayt Pinchas Vayefalel, Vati Otzer Hamagefa. Now, Boshit, you would think Vayefalel means a Lashon Tfilah. Vayomer Blozom Yispal Loinamar. It doesn't say Vayispalel. Ela Vayefalel. Malamich Osa Plilus Im Koinai. What means Plilus? Plilus means it meant like a litigation, a din toira with the Rabbinish Shalom. What was his din toira? He went and took them. Who's them? Zimri and Cosby. You remember from other Gemaras that Pinchas took a spear and speared it in the two of them when they were Osek Betashmish, so that people shouldn't afterwards say, well, he probably didn't see it, he doesn't know what he's talking about, da, 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 blah, blah, blah. As you know, there's a lot of fake news going on all the time. So he speared them together as they were merged as one, and he took them, he took the two bodies on the spear, and he threw it down to the ground. And Amalavana Rabbani Shaloylam, Al Eilu Yiplo Esavar Bo Elef Mi Yisrael, Tachsiv, right at the end of the Parsha, Parsha's Chukas, Parsha's Bolak, before Parsha's Pinchas, Tachsiv, Vayiyu Hamezim Amagefar Bo Viesim Olaf, because of this Gansamasi with Zimri and Cosby and the aftermath, 24,000 people were killed. Yeah. And so therefore Pinchas is saying, because of these two lousy guys that decided to sin, Zimri and Cosby, because of that 24,000. So we see, therefore, that Yeshua is not the first one that spoke in that fashion. From the Pasuk, from the Gemara's Mashmah, you know, he was a trailblazer. This is the first time somebody spoke with such azas. Even Pilcha spoke with us. I have another right. Yeshua said at one point to Kodesh Baruch Hu, what's the reason why you took this folk, Klal Yisrael, over the Yarden? In other words, complaining. Mm-hmm. It would have been better off in Chutz Laaretz. So why did you take us here? Moshe Nami Meimer Omar. We find that Moshe also complained. He said, etc., etc. So we see that Moshe Ben also complained to Kodesh Baruch Hu, why did you make it worse? So here we're saying, Moshe Rabbeinu, he's going to speak Tachnunim. And it's Yeshua, Yedaber Azus. No difference. El Me'acha. The final ray that we see that Yeshua spoke with Azus was from the Pasuk, V'lui Ho'alnu, V'neisha Be'evar Yarden. V'lui Ho'alnu means the Lashon Halavai. Oh, Yekodesh Baruch Halavai, we'd have stayed over on the other side. We wouldn't have come over to this side, to the Eretz Yisrael, because look at all our problems, look at all the situations, the battles, the tzuris, the goyim, should have just left us on the other side. That was considered to be speaking with a certain degree of azus, of chutzpah. That's what the Gemara is referring to when it says, Asher Yana Azus. Okay. Zukti Moravaita. V'yayma Shabbal Yeshua. Kumlach. Get up. Now, what is the kumlach that Hakadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Moshe, to Yeshua? You are complaining about, or you are upset about Ochon and why 36 people were killed, or why Yor ben Menashe was killed, all about Ochon. I want you to know, you, Yeshua, sinned even worse than Ochon. Really? He sinned even worse? Shalacha, your sin was worse than their sin. How was his sin worse than their sin? So Rashi says that that's what it's merumas in the word kumloch, that get up, that the oynish on Klal Yisrael was not only because of Ochan, but also because of you. You didn't listen to my words, and therefore you were all also punished, and Klal Yisrael was punished because not only because of Ochan, because of you. What was the oynish? What was the sin? Says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ani Amarti. This is Reb Shila speaking. Darush Reb Shila. Ani Amarti, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, I told Moshe Rabbeinu, V'ayu Avrachem Asei Yarden Tokimu. When you get over the Yarden, go and put up the stones. It was special stones that had to be brought up. First stones that they took from Chutz Laaretz, and they placed them into the Yarden, and then other stones they picked up from the Yarden, and then when they passed on the other side of the Jordan, you were supposed to, Tokimu, you were supposed to go and set those stones up. And what did you do? You didn't do Ba'avrachem Asiyar and Tekima. Ba'atarichaktem Samach Mil Basad Denofak. You first waited to travel 60 mil, and then you took the stones and set them up. Where did you set them up? On Har Eval. Why didn't you do it immediately? Ba'avrachem Asiyar and Tekima. So therefore you violated. Right after you get over the yard and put up the stones, and you waited until Samach Mil, which took another few hours until they got there.
Why do you say it's Har Eval? Har Eval was where the brachos and clothes were in Kitavo.
Mm-hmm.
That's before they passed the yard. Why do you say it's Har Eval?
Okay, so first of all, we have a Rashi over here. Rechakchem Shishim Mil. Do you have that Rashi?
Yeah, Har Eval.
So you see the Har Eval. Rechakchem Shishim Mil. Yarden v'sham hikim v'sovan. So now you're wondering why you refer Dafka to Har Eval instead of Har Grizim, right? So that's a modified kash. The first kash is done, right? Are you happy or not happy?
No, but it says he waited.
Obviously, he's not happy.
60 mil. Yeah. 60 mil is before. It's before he came to the Yarden.
He altered the process.
We're talking about 60 mil after they arrived in Eretz Yisrael. The pasuk says, "Vayibavchem say Yarden." As soon as you pass over the Yarden, you get to the other side. You go and first go and breathe a couple of breaths. Yeah. And then you take a bunch of stones and you set them up.
Yeah, what I'm saying is, but Moshe, the Harigizan or Eval is east of the Jordan River, isn't it? Because
it's west of the Jordan River.
It's west, so it's after. Okay, so it's
Harigizan or Eval near Israel.
I believe so.
Okay, good. So if you're standing next, you look up at the yard. So the east is Jordan.
So the brachas and klalos and kitovo were said prospectively, not in real time. Moshe wasn't present.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, he said, "A mitzvah in time to Yeshua."
Okay,
then you're gonna.
Okay, I'm sorry, I got the chronology off.
Sorry. No, you're doing beautifully. Sorry, okay. But Lamasa, when they came into Eretz Yisrael, they put up the stone there on. Rashi said, "Har Gizim, Har Evel." Why did I mention Har Evel? Because there's a big lechoyer a big problem. Right, tois. If you look at the toises, you go down six lines. Vatem richaktem shishim milin. You have that toises here.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you skip six lines in, there's a posik in Devarim.
Yes.
Right. Oh, Bahar Evel. Don't say Hargiz. Har Evel.
Right.
So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them to go and put the stones on Har Evel.
Right.
So Toises is asking, you have a big taina on Yeshua. Yeshua, as soon as he came over to Yarden, put up the stones. What do you mean, put up the stones? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, wait until you get to Har Evel. If Har Evel is 60 mil, I got to wait until I get 60 mil. If it would have been 10 mil, I would have done 10 mil. If it's 100 mil, I would have gone 100 mil. I got to do it in Har Evel, right? So, start the Toises from the beginning. He did what he was supposed to do. He looked at all the signs on the road. He put it on into his ways and the GPS, made the Google Maps, and the first time that they showed Hargriz and Har-Evel was 60 mil. So what's going on? That's Toises Kash. So Toises brings a ganze shtickle gemara from somewhere else. But the bottom line is, if you skip down a whole bunch of lines, you'll see the sphere later blazer. It's the beginning of the line. Sphere later blazer. The hagriz mar evil. Do you have that? The hagriz mar evil should be samach liyarden dibra kosev. That the posse was not talking about the Har Evel, which was 60 mil in. It was talking about Har Gizm Har Evel, which was right next to the Yarden. Ushnayim Hoyu. There were two Har Evels.
Exactly.
Okay?
They were able to be.
Two Har Evels. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu meant the Har Evel as soon as you get into Eretz Yisrael. But Yeshua tarried and waited for another 60 mil. And therefore, you're also responsible. That's what Reb Shila says.
He altered the plan.
Very good. So getting back to our Gemara.
Why don't you bring the stand over here and stand over here? So we have your presence. What do you prefer having here? You have your father ask about them. I see. It's a copy for us.
Okay.
Hello, Tommy, can you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear. Can you hear us?
Yes. Yeah, so but today, Har Evel and Har Gerizim are on the west side of the Jordan.
They're on the west side of the Jordan. They've always been on the west side of the Jordan.
Mm-hmm. Even today.
You can visit Har Gerizim and Har Evel even today. I mean, it's it's Arab territory, but you can visit it. Was up there.
Right, but here we're saying it's over. Here we're saying it's on the east side.
I don't see anything here saying Mizruch HaMarv. Kadosh Baruch Hu told him to go over the Yarden. You're thinking of that when they came from the Midbar, didn't they come like from Egypt, and they're coming in from that side? But remember, since they were in the Midbar 40 years, they went around the whole Eretz Yisrael on the Dorim. Exactly.
Present-day Jordan.
Exactly. So they went from Trans-Jordan, present-day Jordan, Kingdom of Jordan, or whatever it is.
Right. I got it. Yeah.
Okay, and they went over. No problem. So they didn't immediately put it up. It took 60 mil. And that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu was angry at Yeshua. And he says, Kum lach. Because of you, you're partially responsible. That's what Reb Shila said. However, Bosan Anofek, after he left the room, Oikim Rav Amoira Le, Rav took an Amoira. Amoira means a Talmud Chochem, who was his loudspeaker, who had a powerful voice, so you could hear it all the way to the other side of the Besmedesh. But Dorash. And he says, it's not true what Reb Shila said. It says in the Pasuk, Asher Tiva Hashem Es Moshe Avdoi Kein Tiva Moshe Yeshua V'chein Osi Yeshua Loi Heiser Dov Mikol Asher Tiva Hashem Es Moshe. Yeshua did everything letter perfect. If it's letter perfect, what's Reb Shila talking about? What's the Kum Lach? M.K. Matam Aloyim HaKum Lach Amalei Ata Geram Telehem. Besides Ata Geram Telehem Zut Rashi, you were the one that said, don't take from the Bizas Yerichai. I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, didn't say that. You were the one that would goyim this whole chet. If you hadn't opened the door by saying, don't take from the sholeh, from the booty, we'd never have a problem in the first place. See, look at the Rashi. Ata Geram Telehem. Rashi is about 12, 15 lines from the bottom. Ata Geram Telehem. Shloi Hoylecho Leser Aleim Bizas Yerichai. You were the one that caused this chet by creating this chet. There was no reason why you couldn't go and take from the biza. You were the one that made this new isur, so you were the one that was going. Back to the Gemara, four lines at the bottom, and that's why, in fact, the next battle in Ai, it says in the pasuk, "Asisa la'ai ula malka kasher asisa liricha la'malka," go and destroy Ai and its king and its queen, just like you did to Yericho. But now, v'goimer, what's v'goimer? Ai Gemara doesn't bring the v'goimer, but you have it here in the third Ora Shalei. Rak shlola uvehemta tovoizalachem. You can take whatever shalom you want, no problem. So Yeshua learned from his mistake, according to Rav. Since the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, you shouldn't have been goyim this chet by telling them not to go and take from the biza. Yes, go and eye and destroy and kill and do whatever you have to. But you can take as much shalom as you want. So Yeshua had a change of heart, so to speak. With this, we've concluded this whole shtickle about Ochan. And now we're going to deal with... Okay, another part of Yeshua and Yerichai. And we're going to talk about a case of... You want to join us?
Yeah.
But you can take a seat.
He's a stand-up guy.
Okay.
Stand-up.
Okay. Okay, good. When it comes for clapping, you'll give a standing ovation, right? Yes, sir.
There is a passage that says that when you cross the Jordan, you should put up the stones in the Yarden.
Right, that's it. Rashi brings the Chumash, three sets of stones. So this is talking about the Har Eval stones and not the ones that you're supposed to put.
The time on your show was he didn't do that at all. He waited until he got to
the Har. To 60 mil, right.
But what about the actual...
The ones that they put in the where they were supposed to, that's no problem. It's just the third group of stones that they're supposed to take all the way up to Har Eval. They should have put the... Har Eval, which was next door, as opposed to Har Eval, which was 60 mil away.
So I think they actually did put the stones in the river.
Right. Oh, yeah. Rashi Chumash, there were three groups of stones, basing more in Soita. I'm sure you remember. Soita Daf Lamed Vav goes into this in great detail about three types of stones. Three groups of, three sets of stones. Anyway, continuing on. Three lines to the bottom. Why did we bring this? Because we're talking weiter about the Melchama of Klal Yisrael in Yerichai. And we're now going to talk about a dialogue between Yeshua and between a very hidden figure. And we're going to have to figure out who that figure is. We're going to have to figure out the figure. Figures. Three lines to the bottom. And he lifted up his eyes. And he saw someone. And the Gemara leaves out the rest of the pasuk, but he says to that individual, Halonu ata im litzareinu. Who are you? Are you on our side or on your side of the enemy? And as we'll see in the Gemara, was talking about that it was at night, and that's why he couldn't recognize him. He couldn't see him. Vayomer. So the person responded, Loi, ki ani sar tzva Hashem. I am to be a malach sent specially by a Kodesh Baruch Hu at the Basi. Rashi here is silent, but the Meforshim bring a rai from a Rashi in the Amud Beis that this malach was the malach Gavriel. Mm-hmm. And the Malach Gavriel, others say it was a Malach Michael, a Machloikis. Anyway, he was a Malach, and he says, Atabasi, I came because of now. What means because of now? Imor is going to discuss that on the Amud Beis. But in the meantime, as soon as Yeshua heard that this dark individual in the middle of the night says, Kanis, Artsvo Hashem, Vayipal Yeshua El Ponov, he fell down on the ground, Artsov Yishtachu, and he prostrated himself to go and show covet for the Rabbi Shalom and the Rabbi Shalom's Malach. How could he do something like that? Prostrate yourself. Not only can you not prostrate, you not even go and give Shalom at night if you cannot see your Chaver. Maybe he's an evil demon, and therefore don't even greet him. But it's not greeting him to say good evening or good night, but especially Shitin Shalom Lechaver. To go and say the word Shalom. The reason is, the last Rashi says, because Shalom is the name, one of the names of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It says in the pasuk, V'yikra loy Hashem Shalom. And therefore, you're not allowed to go and say Shalom to a mazik, to an evil demon, because you're being moitzi shem shemayim levatola, on a mazik. Don't be moitzi shem shemayim. It says, by the way, that if a person is going to the mikveh, and or a beis merchitz, and a person by the name of Shalom walks in, he should not go and call him Shalom, but he should not call him by his name. And he certainly shouldn't say Shalom Aleichem, because the word Shalom is one of the names of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and you can't go and say that inside a mikveh. That's why there's some people, when they write letters, for instance, if they're writing in Hebrew, and they write Shalom Uvracha, they write Shin Lamed Vav with a Shtrachel, they don't write out the Mem, because it's one of the names of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Good. So, how madach you're not allowed to even say shalom to someone at night, because chashin and shem shindaladu, then certainly you shouldn't go and prostrate yourself. Maybe he's bowing down to an evil demon, to a shindalad.
You'll be falling flat on your face.
Exactly. Talk to Marishani Hossam Dikomale, because he said, Anisar Tzvo Hashem Atzabasi. He said that I am a malach. So for Eitimara, Bidul Mishakri, maybe he's telling us a lie. So Eitimara, Gmir, we have a Kabbalah by Mavki Shem Shemayim Levatolo. He didn't just say, I'm a malach. He said, Sar Tzvo Hashem. Since he said Hashem's name, we know that a Shindalid would not be Moitah Shem Shemayim Levatolo. At least that from they are, right? A Ganav, a Gazal, a Shindalid, but an Er Lecha. Exactly. He's not going to be Moitah Shem Shemayim. So you can be sure that therefore he must have been a malach. And that's why Yeshua is allowed to prostrate himself. Okay, very good. But now, remember he said, Atabasi. What is that Atabasi? So the Pasuk doesn't speak it out. But Rashi at the top explains to us that obviously something's going on over here. And as we'll see in the Gemara, this Malach was sent specially by Hashem with a taina against Yeshua. And Yeshua asked him, what's the reason why you made this special trip, Michoel or Gavriel? What did we do wrong? What happened? Amalei, so the Malach said to him, Emesh bitaltem tamishul ben aboy. Yesterday, meaning this was at night, so a few hours ago, which is yesterday, you didn't bring the tamishul ben aboy. It was a mechama going on. V'yachshav bitaltem talmid Torah. And tonight you didn't go and learn Torah. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu has a tain on you for both of those reasons. You mevatel the tamishul ben aboy. Now, I know you're all saying to yourself, but there was a battle, but Tamid Shul Ben Aboyim is brought almost at night. So presumably he was saying, when everybody was returning from the battle front, or people could have returned from the battle front, they should have brought this carbon. As well as when the battles ended at night, since there were no lights, so people, you know, take a breather until the next morning, you should have been koiveya an hour or two to learn the daf, to go and learn some Talmud Torah. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu is angry at you. So now says Yeshua to the Malach, Al Ezmen Bas, but what's the real reason? In other words, of these two, Amalei Atabasi. Atabasi means the chet of now. Because he's saying, V'achshav now, Bitaltam Talmud Torah, here in the middle of the night, Ata the Achshav. Now that's why I was sent to you by Hashem. You should have been Koiveya, Kvias Itam LaTorah. This the Toisis of Megillah says that there's another Rai from Atabasi, because it says by the mitzvah of writing a Ksiva Sefer Torah, Va'ata kisfu lechem es ha-Torah hazois v'lamda es b'nei Yisrael sima b'fiyam. So we see that the word ata is merames, it's alluding to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Therefore he's saying ata basi, about now meaning the mitzvah of bitul Torah. Miyad, once Yeshua heard that, v'yolun Yeshua b'layla hu b'toicha emek. Yeshua decided, we're not going to sleep. We're going to go b'toicha emek. Emek, of course, normally means valley. But v'am Reb Yochanan, malam shalom ba'oim kishol halacha, he went and he immersed himself in the depth of the halacha in the middle of the night. Now, the Mefarshim explained, we don't mean at the time of Yerichai, because this pas v'yon in Yeshua is later on in Ai. Says Rashi, that Yeshua took upon himself that the next battle that we have against the enemy, I'll make sure that at the evening, when everybody gets home, besides eating dinner, we're going to have a kvias itul matrei, we're going to have a seder in Bismanish, and we're going to have to add two or three tables, because kanai nahara baruch Hashem, many, many people are coming to learn. That's what he decided from now on. But Elohu doesn't mean now in Yericho, but Rashi says it means in Ai, the next battle. Okay, since we just spoke about that there are two things that they sinned, they didn't bring the Tomei Shubayin Aboyim, and they didn't learn Torah. We see from this whole story that learning Torah is more important than bringing the Karmin Tamid in the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem is not upset about the Tamid. He's really upset about not learning Torah.
It was over Zman of Batal Kabbalah.
What do you mean?
It was already too late to bring the Korban.
At this point, for sure. So doesn't mean Hashem wasn't upset about it.
Why does it prove that one is more important than the other? This is already, it's past Zman.
What does it say in the second line? Yeshua said to the Malach, Al Ezim Ehen Bas, why did you come? In other words, why did Hashem send you? Did he send you because of chait number one? Or did he send you because of chait number two? And it's because of chait number two. Okay, so now we're going to talk about other psukim, and as you'll see, we're again going to talk about the Malach Gavriel. And that's the connection between this and the next Gemara. Omli Abayil Rav Dimi. Haikruma Marova B'may Mokmisalei. You know that Rav Dimi learned in Eretz Yisrael. Frequently the Gemara says, Rav Dimi, when he came from Eretz Yisrael, he sent the name of Rav Yochanan, because he learned by Rav Yochanan Eretz Yisrael. So Abaye asked Rav Dimi, after he settled in Bavel, Rav Dimi, tell me, in Eretz Yisrael, how did they learn Pshat in the following Pasuk? Now where is this Pasuk? It's a Pasuk, it's actually two Psukim back to back in Mishlei. It says in the Pasuk, Al Tzeitze L'Riv Maher, don't rush into a fight, into an argument. Pen matasa b'achrisa. Maybe you won't be able to come out at the end from the argument. B'hachlam oischa reyacha. Because your friend, but the person with whom you're arguing, you know what he might do? Hachlam, he may embarrass you. And next basic, rivcha riv es reyacha. Even when you do fight with your friend, soid acher al tigal, but don't be megala soidus. Don't go and share secrets with the world. So, what do these psukim mean? What did they say in Eretz Yisrael? So said now Rav Dimi, I'll tell you. B'shor shomel leKadosh Baruch Hu Yecheskel leich emolem Yisrael. At one point, the Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Yecheskel Anovi, you should know that terrible things are going to happen to Klal Yisrael, and I want you to go now and preach to Klal Yisrael and tell them Nevias, you better be good, you better do tshuva, because otherwise it's going to be gefährlich. So what does it say in the Pasuk? He said to Yecheskel, to go and tell Klal Yisrael, Avichu ha-moiri v'imcha chitis. Your father was an Amorite, and your mother was a Chittite. That's very strange. What does that mean, Avichu ha-moiri v'imcha chitis? Says Rashi, that Klal Yisrael, you had tremendous avos hakdoshim, but Avraham Avinu was a son of Terach. And Terach and his forefathers, they all came from Canaan and from the Amoris, Metachites, from all of these Goyim, and therefore we're all descended from them, and that's the soid that Yecheskel shared with, that Kodesh Baruch Hu shared with Yecheskel to go and tell Klal Yisrael. Omer Ruach Piskoinis Lefnei HaKodesh Baruch Hu. Who is this Ruach Piskoinis? Is Rashi. That's Gavriel, Gavriel HaMalach. That's the connection between this Gemara and the previous Gemara. So Gavriel said, Amoinu Shalaylam, what happens if Avram v'Sara were to wake up and they stand in front of you? Would you go and say to them, Avram and Sara, you know who you're destined, descended from a bunch of Amorites and a bunch of Chittites, and you would embarrass them? Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you have to go and fight with the Jewish people and give them Musar and Teichocha and tell them off, but don't go and tell the Soidis, don't go and reveal about earlier generations, and Chas v'Sholem go and put a cloud over the whole genealogy and the whole legacy and the whole ancestry of Klal Yisrael. This is how you understand the Pasuk. So therefore, when you go to have a fight, make sure, don't be machlem ri'acha. And if you are in a fight, soid acher al tigal. So therefore, these psukim says Rav Dimi is referring to Gavriel, that Gavriel said to Kadosh Baruch Hu, don't be megala these soidis against Klal Yisrael. Now this sounds like a grace of chutzpah on the part of Gavriel. Gavriel, how are you talking to Kadosh Baruch Hu? Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're shaming Klal Yisrael, and Avram Asara would get up to Chiyas Amesim, you're going to embarrass them. It's very... Does he have so much azus, so much chutzpah to talk that way to Kadosh Baruch Hu? And yes. Gavriel, fortunately, unfortunately, he has that power, he has that rishus. Besides the name Gavriel, he has three names. He's a piskoin, itmoin, and sigroin. What does that mean? Piskoin, shepoisik dvorim klapi mala, that he can go and say such words against kaviyachol to the rabbi nishaloylam, and he doesn't have to be fearful and guard his words. He can go and speak with a certain degree of azus. Itmoin, sheoitim amnesayim shayisrael. Oita means like to cover up and to seal away the averis of Klal Yisrael and to push them aside. And sigroin, kimin shesoig yeshuv ein apoisech. The word sigroin comes to Lashon Lizgar, to close, which means, explains Rashi, that if he has tried as much as possible to mavakish rachmim on behalf of Klal Yisrael, and it doesn't work, and he has to close his mouth and walk away and unfortunately he was not successful. Shaveinu Beisech, there's no other malach that can go and reopen the case. It's done. He's the one that is soiger the case. That's the koyach of Gavriel. So therefore he was able to talk like that to a Kodesh Baruch Hu and speak to him in a Zoya Shikul Aziz and say, don't reveal the bad secrets of our old ancestry. Now, we use this term at least a certain degree. There we said, Acharn, his Aruch. Okay, we'll see what the connection is. This next shtickle of the Gemara is going to darshan, gets us back to the Mechome in Ai with Yehoshua. So the Pasuk says, Hayarach Shuach Loi Vitzar. Hayarach Shuach Shuach, here's a lashon of Shava, of screaming out, and it's a reference to, an allusion to, davening to Hashem. Hayarach Shuach, when you are like a Shulchan Aruch, when you set your tefillis, Loi Vitzar, don't wait until the tzaris happen, and then say, oh, you're a Rabbeinu Shalom, help me out. But even before the tzaris happen, recognize and acknowledge that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is the one that gives you all of your brachas, and then say in the Kodesh Baruch Hu, please keep those brachas with me, that chas v'shalom we shouldn't have tzaris. I have a good friend who is a choshev talmud chacham, very gifted speaker, very distinguished individual. You know, people looked up to him with great respect. And about a year ago, he was driving on one of these scooters. He was not wearing a helmet. He fell down. Unfortunately, he has brain damage. Rahman al-Islam. He can hardly, when I call him almost a weekly basis, all he can barely say is yes and no and no and yes. If he has to say a word with two syllables, three syllables, he cannot even pronounce it. What's my point? Gesundheit. My point is we have to go and thank the Kodesh Baruch Hu of Yen Shritten Trit, Gesundheit, that we appreciate the blessings that we have. We shouldn't take them for granted. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu turns on the lights, and he can turn off the lights. So go and show your appreciation. Call out to Hashem in Tfilah. Loi v'tzar, even before the tzaris. Amr b'lazal oylem yaktum on Tfilah l'tzara. Go and be maktum yitfilah before the tzara occurs. Shemole hiktum Avram Tfilah l'tzara. Bein beisa elovena oy. Says in the pasuk that Avram Avinu was mispal between bein beisa elovena oy. If it wasn't for that tfilah, years and years later, when Yeshua came into Eretz Yisrael with Klal Yisrael, and they fought the battle in Ai, like Nishtayim Yerushi Yisrael, sword upon it, not 36 people would have been killed. Ganz Klal Yisrael, Chas V'Shalom, would have been decimated. Why didn't this happen? Because Avraham Avinu was marked in his tefillah lefnei Atzara, that he was espoused years and years before, next to the city of Ai.
How did Avraham know to be
maktim
the Tzara?
Avraham Avinu learns the daf every day, and he learned from this Gemara that you always have to be maktim tefillah before the Tzara. In other words, Avraham Avinu appreciated everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him. When you say Pekiach Ivrim in the morning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens up the eyes of people that slept the whole night, now he opens them up. What about all those people that unfortunately cannot open their eyes, that they're blind? We have to appreciate all the blessings, all the brachas that we have, because Chas V'Shalom, the day may come, chuli levachas, don't be mispalen. Be mispal in advance. Keep on giving me these brachas. I thank you. Please keep on giving them and don't take them away. So, you're very welcome. That's the drasha that we had in Rablas.
Now, how do we know Avraham was Amori?
You're talking about Terach.
Oh, Terach.
Okay.
Father, yeah.
So you're raising a very good issue. If you look in the art scroll and footnote, I know, 12 or 35 or whatever, you'll see he discusses that. He brings some other svarim that l'choyre, it's not right that Terach came from Amorites and Chittites, because it says that Rashi says it came from Canaan. Canaan was the son of Chom. We, Klal Yisrael, come from Shem. So nobody came from Chitti and nobody came from Amori. We all come from Noach, either from Shem or from Chom, but not from Chiti and Amori. So he brings a pshat over there. Doesn't mean literally from Chiti and Amori. Just means from the land of the Chitim and the Amorites, where everything was in a land of Toyeva, a land of abominations. Anyway, look in the footnotes. Reish Lakish Amar Kol Ma'amitz Atzmi B'Tfilim Elmata In Leitzer Melmalim. Now Reish Lakish talks about Ma'amitz Atzmi, which means that you really have to put your strength and all of your fiber and all of your koiches into Tfilah. And then, Ein Leitzer Melmalah, then you're not going to have any bad malachim saying bad stuff up above. Where does he take this from? Because the pasuk that we quoted until now, Hayarach Shuach Levitzar, that's Ois Heyurches, and it says at the end of the pasuk, V'chol Mamatzi Choyach. So you add that to that pasuk, and therefore, V'chol Mamatzi Koyach, how does Rish Lakish darshan it? That you have to put all your oimitz and your koyach in your tefillah. Put your koiches in, milmata down below, and the term milmala, that will give you protection that you shouldn't have tzoris from up above. A person should go mevakish rachmim to the Rabbeinu Shloilam. That means that the malachim upstairs into Shemayim, they should help me out in my tefillahs. Just like you say in the piyutim during the service of my tshuva. Malachi Rachmim, you should go and Hashmiu Tefillah. Say no, Livnei Bala Rachamim. Right, it's a beautiful, beautiful song. Anyway, so we're asking the Malachim that they should go and help us upstairs. So, Persh Shemavakish downstairs, that the Malachim upstairs Shemamtim is Koicha, that they should go and extend their strength and help that individual upstairs. That only the good Malachim should be on his side, and not Chas V'Shalom the Malachi Chabola, the bad guys. Push them aside. Weiter. Now we get back to our Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah that Yeshua spoke to Achan. He said, Achan, to go and get an atonement, go and say vidui. Vidui, as we know, means to confess your sins. Tanavan, minayin shekiper. And then it says in the Mishnah that the fact that he said vidui, that atones for his sins. Tanavan, minayin shekiper loy vidui. How do we know that Daka, after he said his vidui, that he had a kapara? That ruination, that you ruined Klal Yisrael, and that you ruined yourself, that's Hayoyim Hazeh, that's today. Hayoyim Hazeh ato ocher. However, if you say vidoy, and you clap al chet a couple of times, ato ocher li oylem haba, oylem haba, you'll be free. Uksiv, I have another right from another pasuk. Oh, there's a pasuk in Divrei Yom. Uvenei Zerach, Zimri ve'esen ve'heman ve'chilkel ve'darda. Zerach had five sons. Zimri, this is not Zimri, Zimri right, ben Solo mit Cosby. Which Zimri is it? It is Achan, as you'll see in the Gemara momentarily. So Zimri, which is Achan, Eson, Heman is three, Chilkel is four, Dari is five, Kulam Chamisha, the Pasuk said they're five altogether. Faitamai Kulam Chamisha, I think we can all count it on our own without any sophisticated calculators. So tomorrow, Kulam Chamisha and Le'olam Abba, all of them have a Chilkel Abba, even Zimri, who is Achan. What are the two names? The real name was Achan. How did he get the name? Zimri. He did a Masa Zimri. Remember what was the Masa Zimri that we said in the Amid Aleph? Because he lived with Cosby, which is the Nara Murasa. Asa Nevola B'Yisrael. That's how we know that he did such a Masa of living with the Nara Murasa. That's how he got the name Zimri, because Asa Masa Zimri. The real name was Zimri Shemai. How do you get the name Achan? She'ichen avnisayim shal Yisrael. What means ichen? Rashi said the word ichen is related to the word achna. The word achna you find in the Gemara is a snake.
Hanur of achnai of Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus.
As well as somebody that tried to get into an oil, or tried to get into a mara, and there was an achna around that didn't allow them in. Anyway, so the word ichen, says Rashi, is gilgal aleim, the pigdoinus of the aboinus of Klal Yisrael, ke'achna. In other words,
kever of Shimon.
Yeah, yeah, good, good. But the point is that the word ichen over here, that as a result of his chait, he caused a galgal aleim. That means that a Kodesh Baruch Hu remembered all the chatom of Klal Yisrael and surrounded them like a snake that goes from the mouth to the tail, can surround a coil. Ah, oh, a coil. And therefore, that's how he got the name Achan. Right, in any day of his fathers, what should he do? Rabbi Yehuda Omer l'Nakasatran. Okay, so now the Gemara has a machlokes at the very end between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. What happens if the person is convinced that he's innocent? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hayu Edeya Shehu Mezumam. He knows that the Edom that spoke against him were Edom Zomamim, a bunch of false Edom, because they were together with him in Chicago. They were Edom Zomamim. Exactly. Omer, he says to Hey Misasi Kapara, I'll call up an Oisai. This Misa that I'm having now should be atonement of all my sins. Chutzmi Abazeb, but not this sin, because I didn't do this sin. So he's allowed to make such a statement. This sin, I'm totally innocent, but let this Misa be a Kapara on all of my other sins. Omer Leith, the Chum got angry, Jebuda said, then Om Kain. You call Odom Omer Kain. Then any person and every person who's about to be executed by the Bezel will say those words. You should know I have other Averis, but not this one. This one I'm Nucky, and therefore this piece should be a Kaparo Kalmanoisai. Everybody will say the Kinelanakas Atzmai, so that he'll have the final word and he'll say, these are a bunch of baloney. I want you to know I'm innocent, innocent, innocent.
They said they did him ill, and he's annoyed.
Illinois, very good. Zokti Mara. Nu, back to our Gemara here, Memdalade. Vinoku Atzman. So what is? So they'll be menaka themselves. So why does that bother you? What does it bother me? Because by saying that I'm innocent, 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 what he's saying is that the Bezdin and the Edom are a bunch of crooks and a bunch of criminals, and we don't want that chas v'shalom. See, what tells the story? He was being taken out to be killed. And he said, if I really had this Aveda for which I'm being killed, this is what he said. This Misa that I'm going to undergo now should not be an atonement for any Aveda. But if I didn't have this Avoid, because I'm innocent, then this Misa should be a Kapara for all my Aveda, which is this part is just like Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah, and you should know the Bezdin, they're nice rabbis. I have no problem with them. I have no problem with Kai Yisrael. I'm never going to be moichel them, not in this world, not in that world, because they are killing me for naught. Chacham heard that. Amru. Now, when the Chacham heard this whole story, they had a feeling, Epis Shmekt over here, that he's telling the truth. And if he's telling the truth, then the Edom attack a bunch of bandits. What are we going to do now? To go and bring him back to Bezin to try to acquit him, we can't. The verdict was already issued, and we have no Edom Mezimen. It's just his word. So even though what he it sounds like he's telling the truth, but we cannot go and acquit him. Like he said, if in fact he's taka innocent, then the koiler, meaning the guilt for this innocent punishment, is going to be on their necks. Zokti Mar, Pshita, Kol Kamine, of course we cannot go and acquit him. After all, it's only his word against the Edom. Zokti Mar, Vaitzricha de Kohadri Behu Sadi, that the Edom themselves, as this accused is being taken to his execution, they themselves said, we change our minds. It was not true. It didn't happen. So I might have thought, since they're changing their minds, maybe we can stop it and not execute
them.
Is this your own question? Okay, let's look at the next five words. Who cares that they changed their minds? What were the words that you used before? I don't know how you can repeat it a second time. You can't repeat it. Anyway, so of course we're not going to go and acquit him. So it's more like even if they explain themselves why they're changing their minds, and that's, you know what? What they're saying makes sense. Like the famous story of Baya the Moches. What was the famous story of Baya the Moches? It's a beautiful story. It's one of the longest Rashis in Shas. If you look at the Rashi, the second of the left-hand side, not the west or the east, because that guy was confused before. If you go to the left, you see the second line, the Baya Michsa, starts a Masa, goes all the way down to the bottom of the Amid Mishnah. If we had another 15 minutes, we'd be able to explain it in great depth. However, we don't have the 15 minutes. So therefore, we're going to explain it 1, 2, 3. Rashi tells us it was a story about a Moches. A Moches means a tax collector, a Jewish tax collector. And usually these Jewish tax collectors are considered to be Rishoim. Why the Rishoim? Because the original governor or king would say, this town has to go and put up together, all the 50 people have to go and put up $100,000. And you, Moches, you do whatever you want. So Moches very often would go and tax people that shouldn't be taxed, or he would tax them too much because they don't really make so much money, etc. He did a lot of shenanigans, and sometimes he took a little couple of shkolim for himself. So a Moches is typically a bad guy.
And was taxing on the people.
And this person's name was Baya, and he died on one day, and on the same day, says Rashi, an Odom Godla Choshev, a person, died. And the Chevra Kedisha have two separate mitois, one for this Adam Gadol and one for this Moiches, and they took it out to the Beis HaChaim, and in the middle of the funeral procession, the enemies came, and they started attacking, and therefore, all of the mourners, and all of the friends, and the Romans, and the countrymen, as well as the Chevra Kedisha, all made a plata. They all ran away. Okay, they ran away for a few days, There was only one Talmud that stayed there protecting the Oren of his Rebbe, the Adam Gott. 3 days later, a week later, finally things cool off. Chevra Kadisha comes back, and now we have to be koiver the two Mesim, and they go and be koiver the Chacham in the place where the Moiches, that bad Russia, was supposed to be buried. And they took the Moiches and they buried in the place where the Adam God was supposed to be buried. And that Talmud was screaming, "No, you can't do it, what you're doing." Said Gunish Geholfen, they were not listening. And they buried the Moiches next to Choshev Rabbanim, and they buried this Adam Gadol next to some infamous Rishon.
The Skolem
in Herod, yeah, all those nice guys. Right. Anyway, the Talmud was beside himself, and that night he couldn't sleep, and his Rebbe came to him in a dream. And he said to him, "You know why this happened? Because years ago, I once heard people being mevaze another Adam Gadol, and I should have stood up and I should have said, 'How are you doing that? You can't be mevaze as an Adam Gadol.' I was quiet, so now I'm getting my punishment." And why is the Moiches getting his reward? So he said, because one time the Moiches had collected a lot of money, and it was for purposes of a Seud of a Sar Ha'ir, for the mayor, for the governor, whatever. And for whatever reason, the Sar Ir didn't come to the Suda, so the whole Suda became Batel Mevatel. What did he do with all the food? He called all the Aniyim, "All Aniyim, come around, and you're all invited," and therefore he had a tremendous schar because of that, and that's why he's getting buried in the good place. Then, this is halfway the Rashi. Now, the other half of the Rashi, the Talmud says now to the Adam Gadol, "Tell me, how long will this Moiches unfortunately have to go and serve in Gehenna?" So I left out. So the Talmud Chochem said, the Gadol Gadol said, "Don't worry, down below, Tak, I have the Zionis. But Baruch Hashem, upstairs in Shemayim, I'm getting my just reward for being a Gadol Batoira, so you don't have to worry." And that Moiches down below, he's sitting together with the Beis HaChaim with all those, you know, distinguished rabbis. But up above, or down below, he's in Gehenna, and he's going to rot in Gehenna for a long time. So he said, "Until how long?" He says, "Until Shimon ben Shetach comes, and he's going to take over his place." Shimon ben Shetach, he was the head of the Bez, and he was the head of Sanhedrin. He was a great Adam Gadol. He's going to go and be in Gehenna. He said, "Yes, because Shimon ben Shetach didn't do anything about the 80 women that were machshefes." Machshefes means that they were witches. Not witches in terms of colloquial witches. We know real witches with real witchcraft. And it says in the Pasuk, "Mechashefa loy sechaya," you have to go and kill a woman that engages in... And he didn't do anything. So then the Talmud woke up the next morning, he made an appointment, he met with Shimon Shetach, "Do you hear what happened? You're going to go and sit in Gehenna because of these 80 women." And therefore, Shimon Shetach took this very seriously. He took 80 bachurim, tall, distinguished, handsome fellows, and he had them all carry very large pots, and in the pots they put in dry clothing, dry robes. And that day it was pouring outside. And now Shimon Shetach goes and takes all of these 80, knocks on the door of the Beis HaKishef of these women, and he says, "I want to come in. Who are you?" "I myself, I'm a big sorcerer, I'm a big mechashef." "Prove it. I'll show you. You see, it's pouring outside, cats and dogs for sure. I'm going to bring in now 80 young men, all of them are going to be dry to the bone." "Really? That'll be a good..." "Okay, let him in." So he immediately signaled to all of them, "Quickly go and put on the dry clothing, take it out of the pot, put in dry clothing." They came in. "I can't believe it. Wow, it's pouring and they're all dry." So therefore, they accepted him. Then Shimon Shetach said, there were 80 women, 80 bachrim, "Pick up the women from the ground. As soon as they are no longer well grounded, they lose their koyach hakishiv." And now he took all the 80 bachrim, took them out of that house, and they had a din Torah, and all 80 of them were killed. So says the Gemara, what happened now? The Mishpacha, 2 more minutes of my side. Thank you, Ariel. But you can get ready at the Omen in the meantime. Yeah. You can get ready, yeah. You can take a talis, go and open the Siddur.
It doesn't matter that Rosh Chodesh.
No, oh, that's right. Now you have to ask the Gabbai. I don't know if you can, I'm sorry, you're right. Maybe not. Good idea.
Take about 2 minutes.
Exactly, ask somebody for the next 2 minutes. So now the Gemara, so Rashi continues and says that after that, the relatives of these machshefes were very, very upset, and they wanted to take revenge against Shimon ben Shetach. So what did they do? They made a whole bilbil about the son of Shimon ben Shetach, that he did something wrong, and two of those craven went to the Bezin. They solemnly swore that they saw the son of Shimon ben Shetach do something that had some sort of capital crime, and since nobody else said otherwise, the Bezin decided he's going to go out for skila. And now, when this son of Shimon ben Shetach is now at the place for the Mokum HaSkila, he made this statement, like we just said now. The And then the Edom heard that, and they said, so sorry. We have such regret that we spoke against the son of Shimon ben Shetach. But it's already too late, because they couldn't go and bring them back into Beis Din, because he had already been convicted. We didn't have any Edom HaMazimim. Therefore, says the Gemara, that's the Kiddush of this Braisa. That even though normally you would say, these Kroivim are saying, we feel bad. The whole reason why we did this was to take revenge for Shimon ben Shetach killing all of our Kroivis. Like the story of Bai the Moichis. Please read this when you get home and go through the whole thing. Have a